B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Greg Bredard joins Felger and Maz every Tuesday at 2 during Patriot season. Now, back to Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. In the NBA, it's looking like it's going to start around... Martin Luther
January
King Day.
1st is what Adam Silver was speculating.
Which is good news if you're the NBA because you want to compete directly with the NFL.
Yeah, I read a tweet from Chris Mannix yesterday that said Martin Luther King Day is the day that's been kicked around. And that makes all the sense in the world because you're not going to start on a weekend because you have NFL playoff games both of the first two weekends in January, and there's really no wait to let's start Tuesday, January 5th. You know what I mean? You need to bring it in with a bang. You bring it in on Martin Luther King Day. That makes all the sense. You get the most publicity. It doesn't go up against NFL football, and away you go.
Plus, the players that want to spread the message of
exactly
racial
Black Lives Matter.
That's an appropriate symbolic day to do so.
Yeah, and you also have a nice little break there, like a week later between the conference championships and the Super Bowl. You've also got that little window where you can boost the ratings.
Also,
up as well, so.
Rich, now that we're talking about this, you can't have obviously an 82-game season. I mean, the NBA had wanted to jam as many games in as possible, and they were saying, "Well, if we start in December, we can get 82 games in." This takes that off.
They're
going to
have an 82-game season.
Oh, I don't
they want to. That's what Silver said.
They're going
I don't know how you can do that, but I mean, I'd have no problem with it.
How do you do that?
Because they're going to extend the season. They're going to extend it.
And then they're going to delay the following season?
They'll figure something out. Yeah, maybe they'll delay it till Christmas. It won't go through August, but they'll jam in more games. There'll be less off days.
If you play 82 games and you start in the middle of January after starting the season, late October? This past season?
Yes.
So you had two extra months that are cut off, pretty much. Or two and a half, really.
I mean, how many
back-to-backs? So they'll play till the end of July.
How many four and five games? I mean,
Fred play to the end of June.
Yeah, so they'll play till the middle of August. And then they'll start at Christmas.
I'd love that. I would love that.
I wouldn't mind it. But
I got news for you. But they're going to play 82 games, okay? This is all my opinion, which is what I'm paid to do. They're going to play 82 games. I believe that they're delaying it because they want fans. Even Silver said they want fans.
Dan has a good point.
Dan, you shush. What's your point, Dan? Go ahead.
Way to go, John. I tried to give him his headphones. Wouldn't the next season back right up against the proposed Summer Olympics
that's Adam Silver has said he wants to avoid.
Ooh. Interesting.
Yeah. He wants to play 82 games. Don't forget, the U.S. Olympic basketball team, they want NBA players to participate. If you beat the crap out of these guys for 4 months just to jam in as many games as possible, and don't forget, just like the reason they put together these seeding games was to get to 70, because that's when the money kicks in. I bet you they play 70 games and not 82.
I bet you they play 82 games where they get as close as they possibly can.
Dan makes a good point. I don't know how you can do 82 with the Olympics. I completely forgot about that.
I don't. But maybe they say that you can't play in the Olympics. I don't know.
Double headers, man. Come on.
That's right.
Let's do it.
Do what
three quarters of basketball per game, Do it like baseball. Shorten it a little bit.
Yeah, do what they did to the Cardinals. And go, why are your pitchers getting hurt?
A game at one and a game at seven. Last three quarters.
Yeah, just go, wait.
Sure.
You took a random 3 weeks off. Why is everyone getting hurt?
That's good.
But then, I made the mistake of going into the Toucher and Rich Twitter, which is, that's a dangerous area for me. And I get one of these parody accounts, at Fred Toucher and his doctor friends back with the diagnosis flu. By the way, I had doctors that told me that it was being overblown at the beginning, and they were wrong. They weren't infectious disease experts. I was wrong. It turned out to be quite the big deal. That's absolutely true. Mark his words because he's been spot on since the start. Good to have him back, which is sarcastic of Mark. And X-Ray, I've learned nothing from my rehab but to have sympathy for you because I have learned that those who reach out in attack are covering up a great deal of pain, which I have learned through therapy. So for you, I have nothing but my sincerest condolences. And that is absolutely true. In fact, it most likely an addict, because that's addict behavior, is lashing out randomly and doing stuff like that is addictive behavior. So I would imagine you're dealing with someone with some sort of neurological damage and also most likely an addiction. So beyond that, all I can say is that if you're looking at these states, they're going to have fans.
I mean, well, so Fred, I want to kind of piggyback off this onto something that the NHL has been talking about, because they too have been discussing potentially starting the season in a bubble. And there was a really good article, which we'll probably get into a little bit more later on. But they ESPN interviewed confidentially a bunch of different players from the NHL who had played in the bubble and asked them a bunch of different questions. And there's some pretty funny stories in there. Basically, all of them got like bait and switch. Like, apparently they were promised that there was going to be like golfing and fishing and all this stuff, and they were trapped. As a matter of fact, most of these guys, a lot of them had rooms that didn't have windows in them in like the middle of this thing, and they couldn't leave their room.
Yeah, the NHL got completely screwed. And they didn't, and it's funny because, you see the NBA players and they're climbing around at the pool.
Yeah,
and having fun. And the NHL players were in Toronto and Edmonton.
By the way,
trapped in a city.
By the way, did you hear that the players that were in Toronto playing in the Eastern Conference, because they're holding the Stanley Cup and the conference finals out in Edmonton, the players that were in Toronto showed up in Edmonton and went, oh, man.
Yeah.
Apparently, Edmonton was significantly worse than Toronto.
They got screwed. So there were little things, like, and we'll get into it later on, but I mean, like, if, like, this whole golf thing, like one or two people on the team couldn't golf. The only way they could golf is if the entire team went golfing. So if one guy decided he wanted to stay back, they weren't allowed to go. So nobody went golfing. All right, but when it comes to that, there's something in here that gives us a little nugget about potentially what happened with the Bruins. They were asking about the bubble for next season. They said another bubble would require the players to sign off, and again, would they? Someone said, no chance for a full season. Probably not for the playoffs, a Western Conference player said. I think that if we can play a full season with no bubble, as far as fly in, empty arena, fly out, and that's safe, then there's no reason that we would have to do a bubble for the playoffs either. They said another Western Conference player said he'd return only if I absolutely had to do it again, but he warned that the other players on his team wouldn't be quick to accept
They're
it.
They're not doing a bubble.
But this gets to a point here. They all say that they probably wouldn't want to do it, and they talked about how tough it was. They said that one Eastern Conference veteran was empathetic in saying that the players wouldn't return to bubble life again. No way. There's just no way. I just can't see that happening for anybody. To do it for the time that we had, for sure, we understand what had to be done. Guys were understanding it. But even a guy like Tuukka Rask, it took a lot for him to do that. Whenever his reasoning was, or whatever his reasoning was, whatever the case may be, that goes to show right there that to do it for even a month, let alone a few, is really rough. But even this never bubbler said his last resort, he'd consider it. So that right there, I'm thinking about this right here. And whoever this guy from the Eastern Conference is who made that comment about Tuukka Rask seems to believe. Now, he's hanging out in the article, they talk about they're hanging out with all the players. Like, it didn't matter who you were. Like, you couldn't avoid the other teams. He seems to think that it was more about Tuukka Rask not being able to handle the bubble than it was about what we've been told, an emergency at home. Am I reading that wrong? Am I reading into this the wrong way? But it seems to be that he is implying that it was because the bubble was a tough place to be that Tuukka Rask left.
I can only imagine how my take is very annoying to the listeners, but I'm hearing that it wasn't crazy, that there wasn't anything crazy. But what do I know?
But that's interesting. So this is an Eastern Conference veteran, they said. So somebody who, and like in the article, they talk about how, you know, when all the guys were up. There was one bar that they had, and it was at the top. It was the Sky Bar. And he said there'd be at least 15 guys per team on every night up there drinking. Yeah. So everyone was hanging out with each other. So they all talk. And that was the one part of this article that kind of stuck out. You know, when he goes, but even a guy like Tuukka Rask, it took a lot for him to do that, talking about being in the bubble. Whatever his reasoning was, whatever may be the case, that goes to show right there that to do it for even a month, let alone a few, is really rough. That is that says to me that somebody who is on the inside and who might know more than the rest of us seems to think that it was different than the reasons that we were all led to believe it was.
I heard that they're not happy.
You heard that the Bruins are not happy because they all put up a really good, you know, unified front. That matter of fact, I mean, some of the players got angry that they would question Tuukka Rask.
Chris Wagner especially. They convinced the hell out of me. I was of the mind, if you are hearing different, Fred, I was of the mind that, like Rich said, it was a unified front and that Rask is absolutely going to be the starting goaltender next year. They had his back. They understood why he left. You're telling me that's not the case?
I don't know.
Oh, I thought that's what you just said.
I thought you said you'd heard that the Bruins were angry.
I heard that there are people in the Bruins that are angry. But
like
I,
players or management?
I've heard that people in the Bruins that are angry.
Okay.
I've told you it'd be annoying because I can't say anything on the record because I don't know, like, for a fact. Like, I just, this is what I hear.
Okay.
So I've heard that... people who have spoken because they can do it eloquently and put on a happy face, and that the people that might be upset have not spoken.
Okay, so there are people
trying to think who hasn't spoken. Seems like everyone was asked.
You won't have to think. If you think, you won't have to think very hard. Because
Patrice backed him up, obviously. Mm-hmm. Chara backed him up. Yep. Wagner backed him up. Yep. Management backed him up. Not only Cassidy, but also
Sweeney.
Uh-huh. Cam Neely backed him up. Cam Neely did.
Okay. All right. We will be back. We're going to be joined by Jim McBride. He was going to talk to us about the situation with the Patriots and all that other.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
They're fun.
This is the home of the Bruins, the Celtics, and these guys. Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The clock hits 000. The Celtics get Gordon Hayward back.
With the first and 10, Wilson from the gun. Back to his right with a play fake to Carson. He settles in with time to throw across the middle. Tipped and intercepted by Devin McCourty. Running down the right side. Clear to the end zone. A pick six and a touchdown. Patriots!
That's a great start for this defense on the road. Setting the tone on the first series.
You know, it's good to have trust from our quarterback. At the end of the day, as receivers, we just want to make him as comfortable as possible. And when he drops back, he has faith in every single one of us that he could trust us to come down with the ball. It's really encouraging.
Nine 8.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Jim McBride covers the Patriots for the Boston Globe. Like Jim McBride. Missed the breakdown of the games on Sunday. Joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline, Mr. McBride. Hello, sir.
Good morning, guys. How are we today?
Jim, I don't mean to interrupt, but aren't you the one who predicted that the Lions would be going to the Super Bowl?
I have that written down right now.
I've been excited to talk to you.
Yeah, I wanted to explore this. But
that was my evil twin. I don't know how he got that hold of my laptop.
Yeah. All right. Because it was an interesting pick. I mean, it wasn't like picking the Jets.
It's not crazy. It's like
a fun pick. Yeah. But, okay, so you obviously like Patricia, but are you hearing anything that the Lions ownership would finally do something bold and fire him this year?
I haven't heard anything to that, like that. But certainly it hasn't been a great start for them, and it certainly doesn't make my prediction look too good. But, you know, everyone can pick the Chiefs to win. I had to go out there a little bit on this one.
What about them did you like? As someone who has watched them both Sundays.
Yeah, well, I like them. I like Stafford a lot, and I like the way that team was coming together last year. I got to see a week's worth of practices with them, and I really like the way Patricia dealt with those guys on the field, and just seeing them up close, I thought that this was going to be like a real breakout year for them, and, I'm wrong so far.
Okay, well, two divisional games, I mean, you know, they're not bad losses or anything. they really showed well against the Bears. They won the game and all, and then they just decided to go, no, we're going to have a rookie running back drop it in the end zone. All right, so Mr. McBride, are you surprised by Cam Newton? Were you one of these guys that was skeptical if he was going to be healthy? And you got to be excited about what you've seen.
Yeah, I mean, he surprised me all along the way, all through camp. I thought he looked healthy. I was a little concerned that his arm wasn't going to be there, especially after week one where they ran the ball so much and, you know, so successfully. But, watching him throw Sunday night in Seattle, I thought he was outstanding. It was obviously a tough loss and, you know, it came down to his legs, obviously. But I thought it was really, really encouraging, not only the way he threw the ball, but the way he distributed to a bunch of people. He wasn't playing favorites as we've seen here before. In the past, I thought it was great. And, I know on the broadcast that they had mentioned that this was the best they had seen him throw in years. And I have to kind of go with them because I didn't get to see all his games. But I thought he was outstanding. I thought he was dropping it perfectly. And, you know, the arm strength is clearly there. So I don't think he has any worries about the shoulder or the foot.
And the one thing, too, about Cam Newton that surprised me is that, you know, dare I say that his receiving core looked better than any of them seemed to have last year. And I'm not making this a Cam versus Tom Brady thing.
Yes, you
but
are.
But, I mean, he's distributing the ball. Well, he did look better. I mean, I think, you know, Cam.
So the question is, and it's a good question that Rich is getting to, would you rather have Cam or Tom Brady this year?
I mean, sure.
You know, for the way this team is constituted, I'd rather have Cam because, you know, he's. You know, Tom even admitted that after last year that there were guys that he gave up on, and I don't think you've seen that with Cam. Like, you know, Nikhil's made some mistakes, and Cam keeps going back to him. I'm not sure Tom would at this stage of his career. You know, Damir Bird is a guy that started off slow. I'm not sure he would have been able to gain Tom's confidence, but he has. Julian's, you know, obviously anybody's going to throw to him. But, yeah, I think that the way that this team's constituted with the younger guys, I think Cam's a better fit.
Okay, now, so you talk about N'Keal Harry, and he has been very vocal, obviously, about N'Keal, and, you know, this is another skill position player that's a first-round pick. We know Sony Michel's nothing special at all. I mean, you agree with that, obviously, but N'Keal Harry, what are your feelings on him? Is he someone who can burst out here, or what do you think?
Yeah, I think he's a guy that's thriving off the confidence, and the fact that he knows that Cam's going to go back to him whether he makes a mistake or not. And I think, you know, obviously he was hurt a lot last year and you know, wasn't able to develop that chemistry with Brady that everyone would have liked. But I think you're seeing it's an ongoing process, and he's going to continue to thrive off Cam and feed off the positive energy that Cam gives them. And some players need that. They need that you know, that constant, reassurance that they're going to be part of part of the solution, and I think that N'Keal feels that from Newton, and you know, he's a young guy that needs that, and I think he's going to continue to develop. You know, he's just too good of a physical specimen to not be a factor at some point. I mean, if you see this guy, he's gigantic. I know everyone pointed to that tackle against Miami where he went down against a smaller guy, but you know, again, it's another thing where he's just going to continue to learn to drop his shoulder and run over guys. And that's the guy we saw in college, and I think that's eventually the guy you're going to see.
Ultimately, Jim, after watching the Raiders play on Monday night and a very impressive win over New Orleans and taking into account all you said about N'Keal Harry, what kind of offense are we going to see this Sunday? Are we going to see passing Cam or running Cam?
I think we'll probably see a little bit of both. I think that, you know, Josh McDaniels has said they're going to continue to be a game plan team. They're not going to,
you know, they're not going to be one of these teams like the Steelers who say, you know, look, we do what we do, and we're going to do it no matter what. They're going to continue to game plan. You know, I love the speed on the Raiders, so I think that they're going to have to stretch that field a little bit. So I think you'll see a little bit of passing. I think you'll see a little bit of running. You can't let teams know what you're going to do. You have to be unpredictable in this league, and I think that the most successful teams are the game plan teams. So I think you'll see a good mix.
All right, so Jim, let's say that Cam continues to play.
I'm sorry, Rich. Can I just jump in for 1 second? I apologize. Is there skill at the running back position? Do you think that they can? Do you have confidence in the backs that they have?
Yeah, I think it's going to look a little different when Damian Harris comes back. I thought he was the most impressive guy in camp. You know, he had that pinky injury at the end of camp, which really kind of killed him. But I think leg wise and just fresh wise, he looked the best. So I think he'll add a little juice. I think we're all waiting for Sony to come back to that playoff Sony we saw a couple of years ago. I know he's had some injuries and maybe it's taken him a little longer, but I think they have the guys in place to be an effective running group. They've just been hurt by injuries.
All right, let's say Cam continues to play at this level and, you know, stays healthy. Do you think that the Patriots have a date that they would consider possibly offering him a contract mid-season in order to try to save some money so he doesn't go to free agency?
Probably mid-season, I would say, if I had to guess. But I think they've probably had conversations all along, and it seems to me like both sides are kind of taking a wait-and-see approach. So, you know, I know it's been a big storyline, especially this last week and even since the start of the season where he's performed so well. But in listening to Cam, I truly don't think that that's on his mind right now. I think he wants to establish himself as an elite quarterback as he's been in the past. And I think he knows that, you know, the money thing will take care of itself if he plays like that. So I don't think it's a big area of concern for either Cam or the team right now. But sure, if they're off to a 7-1 start, 8-1 start, you know, those conversations will probably start happening.
Good. If he's hurt, how screwed are they? Like, what's going on with Stidham?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he really took a step back because of that injury in camp. You know, I thought he was performing well. You know, I believed Cam was going to be the guy no matter how well he performed. But I think when he hurt his hip in camp, it really kind of, you know, stunted his growth. They just didn't have the snaps to dedicate to him. So the competition wasn't as intense as we all thought it was going to be. You know, I was at practice every day. And, you know, he clearly the first couple of practices, They were splitting the snaps pretty evenly, but once he got hurt, it was clear that they couldn't dedicate those extra snaps to him, and that's kind of hurt. But I don't think it's by any means they don't think he can play in this league. I just think that, you know, the time was of the essence in this camp, and it wasn't, you know, because it was a shorter camp than normal, no preseason games. They couldn't have a full-out battle, and, you know, Cam was right there, and Cam was healthy, so he was going to win that battle.
Jim McBride, you love to break down the film. I'm impressed with that about you. So we saw the Raiders. We saw them look very good on Monday Night Football. Coming in to this game on Sunday, what are your feelings in terms of that matchup?
Yeah, I watched the Monday Night game on the flight back from Seattle, and I have to admit I was really surprised at how fast and how good the Raiders were. I figured this was going to be a layup for the Saints because, you know, we all know how good they are. But the speed was the first thing that stood out to me. You know, Darren Waller, the tight end, might be, you know, the best player in this league that no one's heard about.
Yeah.
You know, I know he was kind of featured in the Hard Knocks series last year, but really big, really fast, and can block. He's, you know, I know we like to compare everyone to Gronk now, but he might be the closest thing to primetime Gronk at that position in the league right now. I know you've got your Travis Kelce's and your George Kittle's, but I really like the way this kid plays, and I wouldn't be surprised to see the Patriots use Stephon Gilmore on him because he's probably, you know, he's the best cover man in the league, and he's really their biggest threat. So I would think that Gilmore might go against him, and then we put J.C. Jackson against Henry Ruggs because, man, that kid can fly, too.
All right, well, props to John Wallach. I dismissed him when he had brought up Gilmore taking on Waller. But while we're there, and I have given you your nod, which is something that you and Rich don't do when I'm correct. But but Mr. McBride, doesn't mean it's happening. This is a man who also picked the Lions to go to the Super Bowl. But Jim McBride, when you watch the tape, what do you think of Gilmore? Because to these novice eyes, he seems to have struggled. And don't give me that he was up against, you know, a real powerhouse there in Seattle. His responsibility, we thought, was to take away half the field. What do you think?
Defensive player of the year should do that, yes. What do you think?
So in watching him in battle a lot on Sunday night, I thought that it was, you know, he was there in coverage on the long touchdown pass. He had a hand in there. You know, he got beat by, you know, he certainly got beat on the play, but it wasn't like an egregious, like, oh, my God, this guy got torched. Wilson threw a great ball. The guy made a nice catch, and he just beat the coverage. But I thought that if you took that away, you know, Metcalf only had three other catches the rest of the game, and two of them came when Steph was guarding him. So I think that, you know, to say that he's lost a step is wrong. I think he's still right there. I think he's still a tremendous player. And, you know, watching those two guys battle all night, you know, you didn't see a lot of it when the play wasn't run on. I was at the game, so I got to watch them. Man, those guys beat the crap out of each other all night. So I thought it was a tremendous battle against two of the best players in the league, and I still think Stephon Gilmore is the best corner in the league.
All right. Jim McBride, a prediction for Sunday? What do you got?
You want my prediction after I picked the Lions to win the Super Bowl?
Well, you do it. You used to do it on Sundays, and now they're not there. So what's your prediction?
It's called redemption, Jim. Yeah. Come on.
I think the Patriots win by 7 on Sunday. I'm going to say like 27-20.
All right, there you go. Jim McBride, Boston Globe, thank you so much for the time, sir.
Thanks, guys.
All right, we appreciate it. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Sports Hub. This is the home of the game. And these guys, Toucher and Rich, on Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, or Toucher and Rich. It's dangerous business, this, By the way, you can follow us. I'll tell you what's dangerous business in 1 second. But you can follow various people on the show. You can follow John Wallach at Ken Griffey Rules, the very, very shrewd Twitter handle. You can follow Rich, who runs the show account, at Toucher and Rich on Instagram and on Twitter. And you can follow me at Fred Toucher right there on Instagram. I am there for all your influencing needs. Whatever you need, I'll influence. And do you guys have the Ring? The Ring, the doorbell Ring?
I bought it, and then, like, after, I guess, the first session with it, I just stopped charging it and
buying batteries.
That's
exactly what happened to me. I still get notifications every once in a while. Animal on my back porch. But that's all I get to my phone. But, no, I have the Ring. I had it for a while, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I could sit there and just watch people coming to and fro from the house. Oh, it's beautiful. It's just, you know, I look at myself, how shrewd, how calm and relaxed I am. I mean, if I'm not gay, unfortunately, but I do me. I mean, I'm coming in there, I'm looking at the mail. You know, oh my goodness. But yeah, I look at it. I don't even know people came by the house, and I just because they have a history of it, of everyone that came by the house.
Scroll back through the videos.
Yeah, the kids are coming by the house to play. I didn't even know they were there. I was out.
Do you have a census issue? There's somebody from the census who keeps coming by. Now, the other day, like the first two times, I guess I didn't hear them because there's these little things left in the door. And the third time, they knocked on the door. And so I opened it up, and they were very, very nice. They stood back, and, you know, they had their mask, and, you know, I put on mine through the screen door. And they asked me a couple questions, and I'm like, all right, fine, I'll knock this out. You need some information for the census. I gave them the information. They kept coming back. Like, I'm like, I thought I did everything I needed to do. Like, I have filled this out. I've done everything that you asked me all the questions.
Now the government knows everything. Now the government knows everything.
Like, I'm
filling that thing out like a schmuck.
Like, when do they stop?
Like, when does this
they
stop?
They never stop, because you've got the ball rolling. You've now alerted the government to your presence, and now they're just going to come around. They're like, what are you doing here?
They're insistent little bastards. It's
the Nantucket locals. They want you out.
They do.
They're like, hey, whatever they probably call people that come to Nantucket in the summer, the locals are like, get the hell out of here.
Yeah, you don't belong here past September 1.
Yeah, get out.
What are you still doing here?
Strangers around here.
That's right. Take you and your boat and get the hell out of here.
Yeah, Labor Day's happened, Jack. Now it's time to hit the skids.
They all come walking down the street snapping, and they're Nantucket Reds. We're going to rumble tonight.
Well, doesn't it get super like labor-y in the winter? Doesn't it get to be hardcore Nantuckians?
It's awesome. Like, it's great. I mean, it's everyone's gone, and it's all the locals around here. So yeah, it is. It becomes.
Have you
nice
become a local? Have you become a local yokel?
He's got the beard. He's set to go. Yeah.
The guy who's like the mysterious bearded dude who's just walking around, won't talk to nobody.
That's right. In shorts, no socks, and work boots.
Yeah, he's the High Plains Drifter.
That's right. On a steel horse he rides. Yep.
In rehab, there was this kid. He's a really good guy. He was in his mid-20s, but he was this punk rock, like crust punk kid, and he wore jeans in work boots, in Docs. He wore Doc Martens. Mm-hmm. And they'd be like, hey, do you want to play volleyball? And he'd play volleyball in jeans and Doc Martens. He would, hey, yoga. And he would have jeans and Doc Martens on. He would just constant. But he had to take the Docs off for yoga because no shoes in the yoga studio, baby.
No
shoes in the yoga studio.
Nope.
You don't bring that in from the outside. By the way, be listening in just a matter of moments at 7:50 for your chance to score Boston Celtics Eastern Conference Prize Finals Prize Pack, courtesy of Pro Shop. Add some green to your wardrobe when cheering from home. Shop limited edition Celtics playoff merch and more at bostonproshot.com. That's coming up at 7:50. And with the slowdown of the United States Postal Service, would anyone care to guess what I got on Sunday? I'll tell you. I had made a order from the NFL Pro Shop before the game started, and I received a Jets workout shirt and a Lions hat. Just in time for right after the Sunday games.
Nice.
They came in and I said, what did I just give these guys money for? Why am I sitting here like a 45-year-old idiot dolling up in my favorite team's clothes? Now, John, you give me a little bit of lip because you'd give it to your wife. Your wife is a she's a Miami Dolphins fan, but she's from Philadelphia.
Right. And my theory has always been you get one team a sport that you really are passionate about. And if that team loses or sucks, tough luck. You don't get to jump to another team and be that team's fan. So obviously, when Philadelphia beat the Patriots during that one Super Bowl, my wife went ballistic. We're driving home from our friend's house with the kids in the car, and my wife is literally holding her phone up to my face, playing the "Fly Eagles Fly," and I look at her and I'm like, you're a Dolphins fan.
No, she can't.
Your team is horrible.
No, they can't.
Why in the world would you do that? Put that away.
No.
And that, of course, led to a gigantic fight after the kids went to bed.
Well, it's good that you guys are fighting over important issues.
Yep, that's what we fight over, Fred.
The nerdiest fight in the history of the world.
Yep.
See, I got myself a woman who doesn't care for the sports.
Yeah.
Keeps our distance. Don't need her around.
It's a bonding
You know what
thing.
She does, Rich? She makes, I go, go in and make me a snack. That's what I say to her. But that kind of glee is not allowed. Now, I will give her points because, like myself, I'm from Detroit, but my parents are not.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not, completely connected to the city. I don't have relatives there. I don't have, a history there. My parents, I moved there when I was a baby, but my parents, didn't care about being in Detroit. Dad's a big Steeler fan from his time in Pittsburgh. But if you are from a city, and especially with Detroit, I think that I can enjoy the team. First of all, the gear is just I'm from Detroit, so I wear the gear.
Mm-hmm.
But second of all, and especially since it is the Lions, I think that I would be very passionate if they were in a Super Bowl, because if they won the Super Bowl by any way, shape, or form, it would be anarchy.
Well, how could the world not root for a Detroit Lions them in the Super Bowl? I mean, it's like, to me, there's two teams that I'm not fans of, but you are instantly fans of if they're successful. That would be, obviously, the Detroit would be one of them. And the Bills. Like, if the Bills were in the Super Bowl, I don't care if they beat the Patriots twice, whatever, you root for the Buffalo Bills. Because that's hysterical.
Not me.
Are you telling me those fans?
No.
Just to see the fans,
they've had success.
No.
The Bills are a successful organization.
Yeah, the Bills went to 4 Super Bowls, Rich. It's not
How
like they go into the moon.
Been?
Screw them.
My lifetime.
Screw them.
Yeah. They were there almost 30 years ago.
Super Bowl.
Go screw.
You're telling me you wouldn't get the greatest internet videos of all time from their fans.
We get the greatest internet videos of all time from their fans anyway.
If the Lions
won the Super Bowl, it would be apocalypse in Buffalo.
Buffalo's a tiny ass crap hole. Detroit is a giant city. People don't know how big Detroit is. It's a big city. If Detroit won the Super Bowl, the violence.
See,
and
that's
mayhem.
Not fun. That's not fun apocalypse.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm talking about if the Bills win, that's fun. Like, that's dudes smashing themselves, like, into furniture, jumping off banisters.
They do that anyway. They don't need a Super Bowl for that.
But just think of the scale if they go to the Super Bowl.
They've had success.
I think they lack the creativity to up the ante. I think, I smashed my face. I jumped off this camper and smashed through a table regularly. Why don't I just do that in my own court?
I don't care who they're playing in the Super Bowl. You root for the Bills.
Screw
if that happened. If they got the Super Bowl, you would absolutely root for the Bills.
I wouldn't. Well, it depends who they're playing, but I not based on their fan base. They've had success. They screwed it up, but they had success. Jesus, they had a Hall of Fame team. Jim Kelly, Thurman Thomas,
Andre Reed,
and then on the defensive side of the ball, Bruce Smith,
Cornelius Bennett.
They had a bunch of Hall of Famers. Not my fault that they had a coach who looked like he was 90, but turned out he was only like 60.
When did they win?
They never won.
No, but they've been to 4 Super Bowls. Okay, the Lions have won one playoff game in my lifetime, and the Jets are a disastrous organization that changes ownership and gets worse.
Oh, I said I would root for the Lions, too. The Jets, that's just...
You can't root for the Jets.
No, you can't root for the Jets.
Why not? Why can't he root for the Jets? You can. He could root for the Jets.
Okay.
If he was a good person, I will never root for the Jets.
No one likes Fireman Ed. What do you think? Do people like Fireman Ed?
he's irrelevant now.
He's got his own app.
By the way, no one's a Jet fan either. Yeah. I mean, every time they do a graph of the stupid country, they show, like, they have the colors of the team where the people are the fans. And the Jets have a sliver of Queens. The only Jet fans that I know are despicable. One is despicable, one's a good guy. But Colin Quinn and the fatso from Everybody Loves My Life.
Let me ask you something.
Kevin James.
Kevin James, right.
Everybody Loves My Life.
He named his kid Shea after that dump Shea Stadium.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
We've had him on the air. I talked to him about it. I said, how could you name your kid Shea? It's disgusting.
Right,
it's a disgusting place. Doesn't exist anymore. Maybe he calls it whatever the hell it's called now.
Let me ask you one quick question.
Do we have the audio of the stupid beard and mustache garbage?
What's that?
We'll
the Minshew stuff. Real quick, before break, I've been told by a lot of New York people, I don't know if it's necessarily true, Giants fans kind of skew towards high society. And
oh,
Jet
it must
fans
be
are,
nice to be in your limousine.
Is that right?
Giant fan.
Is that right? The Giant fans are high society, Jet fans are working class?
Yeah, and then like there was like a big fatso in rehab from Kings Park, Long Island, where my family's from. And I was so excited. I'm like, oh, you're obviously a Jet fan. He was a Giant fan. Mets and Giants. If you get Newsday delivered to you, you got to be a Jet fan. What's wrong with you?
Mets and Giants? That's weird.
So many Mets and Giants.
Because
what do you think this generation, this new generation? Well, he's older than me. But he was a big fat pig alcoholic. Like I was like, oh well, this guy's got to be a Jet fan.
Right.
He's a big fat alcoholic. He's from stupid Kings Park. I'm like, this guy's got to be a Jet fan.
Uh-huh.
And he wasn't. He was a Giant fan. And once they've robbed us of Central Long Island, alcoholic fatso.
The Giants have taken over.
The Giants.
They're emigrating west from Montauk. Check them out.
No, they're east from Montauk. No, west from Montauk.
Montauk's on the way. Yeah,
you're right.
They're invading from Montauk west.
I mean, it's just Montauk, beautiful Montauk. Actually, that's getting expensive. But I mean, yeah, Kings Park when I was a kid was like farms.
Sure,
and now it's just Jersey Shore.
Mm-hmm.
I said this big fat alcoholic from Long Island. I go, he's got to be a Jet fan, but he was a Giant fan. So I don't think they're Jet fans.
Oh.
I have one friend who's a Jet fan.
No, I'll never root for the Jets for as long as I live.
You can't.
It'll
never happen. Well, they used to be on the Jets used to look down on the Patriots.
That was just how many generations ago?
I was so the Patriots made the Super Bowl. That doesn't count. That team was terrible.
Well, they made it in 86. They made it in 90.
No. But that's when everything stopped. No. I'm talking about the Jets in like. Because I count the 85 Jets as being a better team than the Patriots.
Even though they lost to them in the playoffs.
Yeah. No, they didn't lose to them in the playoffs.
Yes. First round, I believe, in the playoffs. They lost that year when the Patriots went and lost to Chicago in the Super Bowl.
Is that true?
I believe that's the case. First round. I'm thinking at this off
Dan,
the top of my,
Dan,
the top
someone,
of my head.
Which year, which someone year, who doesn't John? Have to talk, get on this.
Which
because
year,
I don't think they did. Because the Jets in 82 lost to the Dolphins in the Mud Bowl. Where the Dolphins didn't cover the field in a monsoon.
Right. First Patriots run to the Super Bowl.
I don't
Super
think they
Bowl
beat the
20.
Jets.
I think they beat the Jets on the road the first round. I'm
Ken O'Brien's
this
Jets.
Is off the top of my head.
I don't
head.
Think so.
Okay.
But I could be wrong. I'm often wrong with these things. By the way, caller number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line. 617-931-0985. They did?
John is correct. Wild card playoff at New York Jets, December 28th, 1985, 26-14.
I do remember
it was at the
that.
Meadowlands.
I do remember that. I actually do remember that.
Yeah, because the Patriots did like three games on the road that year. They were like the first team to
be
a wild card.
And they beat Dan Marino in the AFC Championship game in Miami.
Yeah, they played the Raiders that year as
so
well.
So the Jets won the division that year. I think that's the year they beat. I think
Patriots were a wild card team.
I think that's the year the Jets beat Tampa Bay like 62-7. And I had that on inside the NFL highlight package on Betamax, and I watched it every day.
Really?
And it said it had the ball flying through the air out of Ken O'Brien's hands into the hands of Wesley Walker. When it was in the air, it said, and the Jets could have put up more points, but they just ran out of time, and it showed the clock hitting zero. And that's the highlight of my life. Car number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line. That's you remember these things. I took the Patriot game out of my head. Contest line 617-931-0985 will score a Boston Celtics Eastern Conference Finals prize pack, courtesy of the Pro Shop. Add some green to your wardrobe when cheering from home. Shop a limited edition playoff merch and more at bostonproshot.com. Caller number 10, 617-931-0985. What do we got at 8, Rich? I see things in the Vox program.
Okay, once again, I went down a wormhole and I dug up something, Fred, that's right up your alley.
Fantastic. I look forward to it. We'll have that in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.